couple of questions for you. One is, when you are cooking and you are handling raw meat, do you wash your hands afterwards before touching other things?
Yeah.
Why? Because it's prudent, yes? And do you panic about it? Do you panic that you're going to get E. coli? And so after you go to the restroom or dig in your garden, do you wash your hands? Yes. Why? It's prudent. And do you panic that you're going to die, so therefore you're just going to stop going to the bathroom and stop gardening? Have you noticed that we are in the middle of a pandemic right now? And it's a pandemic of fear around the coronavirus. We are bombarded everywhere you look right now by speculation and by fear and by what might happen, by the media and by the people all around us. I went to Costco last week. Heck, did you go? It was like Christmas. You couldn't get into the parking lot. Not only were there no spaces, there were so many cars driving around. And we went in. I had to return something. And we were going to the optometry to get some glasses, actually, and went to return something. And the woman said, oh, my God, this is crazy. It's all about the coronavirus. We have had every cash register open, and the lines are back to the meat department. They had run out of toilet paper and water two times the day before and had run out again while I was there this next day. People are just absolutely going crazy in this panic about it. And we know, as metaphysicians, that our consciousness is creative, that what we put our attention on expands and grows. So what to do? I received a letter from home office from our new spiritual leader, Edward Viljoen, that I'd like to share with you. And he started, quote, from Sunan al Tirmidhi 2517, which is about the sayings of Muhammad. It says, a person said, O messenger of Allah, should I tie my camel and trust in Allah, or shall I leave her untied and trust in Allah? The messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon her, said, tie her and trust in Allah. Should I tie my camel or should I trust? Tie your camel and trust. And so the letter, gathering information about the coronavirus named COVID-19, it is essential to use reliable sources and to be on the alert for incomplete or sensational news. In some countries, the number of reported cases appears to be on the rise and deaths have occurred. However, there continues to be a reason to believe that we can respond proactively and affirmatively by first paying attention to the power of our consciousness, and second, by taking actions recommended by health professionals, which it turns out are also effective against other flu strains and infections. See the list of resources below, which is wash your hands, sneeze into a tissue and then discard it, don't touch your face, don't shake hands. As important as it is to be well-informed and in touch with reliable external sources of information, it is equally important to turn attention inward to the source of our being and to let that inner connection guide us through whatever fear or concern is clamoring for our attention. At the heart of the teachings, the science of mind is the concept of oneness, one with all that God is. This oneness outpictures as our wholeness and our interconnectedness. With this in mind, there is no source of information outside us that may influence us without our agreement. Everything in the world can then be seen as arising from our shared reality, not as something to be conquered, but to be transcended and transformed through our understanding and love. While we tend to our responsibilities in the world by washing our hands and tying up our camels, surely we must also mindfully strengthen our awareness of oneness and trust it to inspire the appropriate actions that match our spiritual wholeness. We may well need to keep abreast of national, regional, and local developments concerning COVID-19. And equally important, we can take this opportunity to confidently embrace our teaching of oneness. acknowledging that fear of the virus is part of our shared experience, we are called to respond with both compassion and spiritual conviction, and to move forward together with a deep recognition of oneness and wholeness. Blessings to all, Reverend Edward Viljoen. And so I see within this situation that is going on a huge invitation. A huge invitation to deepen our spiritual practice. A huge invitation to elevate our awareness of spiritual truth. The spiritual truth that our consciousness is creative. The spiritual truth we are made in the image and after the likeness of that which is pure and whole and perfect. The truth that God is for us, but that God can only do for us what God can do through us. And the truth that the very nature of God is to express. And it expresses as wholeness and as order and as harmony and as perfection in us. In spirit, there is no sickness. In spirit, there is no disharmony. You know, you've all heard that acronym, fear is false evidence appearing real, or forgetting that everything is all right. I heard an acronym for virus this week. Very important reminder to unify with spirit. It's a very important reminder to unify our consciousness and our thinking with spirit. I know that we all want to experience good health. Want to move through these times of chaos with a sense of poise, peace, with confidence, and a sense of well-being. We'd want to live without being afraid. It's like this fear that's being created through the media. And so the title of my talk today is Fearless Living. And I'm opening for that to come into our lives and to come into our beingness. We create an opening for that to become real in a material in our lives. It means then that knowing that our essential nature is perfect and is whole and is eternal creates an avenue to create and experience health in our bodies. Knowing that God's nature is to express as wholeness and order and security and safety and for a sense of safety and a sense of security inside of ourselves as we move through life. One of the core concepts in the teachings of the Science of Mind says, in the infinite nature of God, all conceivable good is eternally available, ready to flow into human experience. Through some cosmic process, this flow of good is activated and or increased by human belief, faith, and acceptance. Our belief, our faith, and acceptance of that somehow allow that to lives. And in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, our life is rooted in the universal and the eternal, which is none other than the life of God. The healing process, insofar as it may be termed a process, is becoming conscious of the eternal truth. Treatment, affirmative prayer, should incorporate a conscious recognition that health has always been ours, abundance has always been ours, happiness and peace have always been ours. They are ours now, for they are the very essence and truth of our being. That's the truth of our beingness. And so what if then you got up in the morning and did affirmative prayer? And in that affirmative prayer, you recognized and knew and talked to yourself about the truth that God is the only power. The only power in this universe and the only power in your life. What if you got up in the morning and you did affirmative prayer and spiritual practice and recognized that God's wholeness is your own wholeness? And therefore, it cannot be tampered. It cannot be tamped down. Nothing can happen to it. And what if you recognize that you live in a law of harmony and of order and of balance? And then what if you did that spiritual practice in the morning and you also sent a blessing out to every single person in this world, knowing that same truth for them, that they are the wholeness of God, that balance and order is the law that they live in also? Then you went about your day and you washed your hands and you went without touching your face. So have you heard one of the things that they say is when you're washing your hands, you should wash your hands as long as it takes to sing happy birthday to yourself two different times? And so what if instead of saying to yourself, wash your hands, you sang, you know that one, I love, wash over me? Tina's going to show us how it goes, and then we're going to sing it with her after she says.
You'll know it. I do too. I know it too. I let the love wash over me. I let it ease.
Let's try it together.
I let the love wash over me.
I let in peace.
I let the peace wash over me. I let in peace.
I let the good.
I let the good wash over me. I let in peace.
How's that for a prayer every single time you're washing your hands? And how does that move your consciousness from fear to a place of peace and relief and calm? Because you know what? Our fear and our worry and our concern and our negative focus actually diminishes your immune system. Being in a place of peace and relaxation and calm enhances your immune system and enables it to work better. You know, there are people in this world that handle poisonous snakes and drink poison like as part of their religious practice. They do it in spiritual ecstasy. Well, I'm going to share a story with you about that. It says, Andrew Hamblin handles poisonous snakes every Sunday morning in the name of Jesus. At 22, he leads Tabernacle Church of God in La Follette, Tennessee, a Pentecostal church that practices a rare century-old Christian tradition of worshiping God with venomous snakes like timber rattlers, cotton mouths, and copperheads. There are about 125 snake-handling churches in the United States. Almost all of them are found in the Appalachian. Snake handlers like Hamblin do not worship snakes. Instead, they use snakes to show non-Christians that God protects them from harm. In church services, when they feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon them, these Christians reach into boxes, pick up poisonous snakes, and hold them up as they pray, sing, and even dance. The belief comes from a literal word, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and they will drink any deadly thing, and it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Spiritual signs like speaking in tongues, holding venomous snakes, and even drinking poison or playing with fire may seem radical. Even within Christianity, the Bible passage in question is a point of controversy. Most Bible scholars agree that the Bible's editors added those verses to the original gospel text several centuries after it was written. That does not deter the devoted serpent handlers. So how is it that they... beliefs they create within themselves, the law of correspondence, the outside corresponds with what you believe inside. Our law of correspondence, here's the thing, acts on our beliefs. Not on what we hope to be true, not on what we want to believe, not but what we actually believe is what that law of correspondence responds to. And so it's really easy for me to manifest things like friends and opportunities and money. But you know what? I still can't walk on water. And on an occasion, I get a cold. So it behooves me to do my spiritual practice and to wash my hands. You know, and I know that we all know people that do not get sick, and they will profess it. I don't get sick, and they don't get sick. I had a minister for a long time who never got sick. A skiing accident at the age of 50 and got her very first shot of her life, which was a pain shot. She never had an inoculation. She never had a shot for anything. She never got sick. It's consciousness. And so I then do my affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment, do my spiritual practice, affirm the truth that God is the wholeness of my being, the power in my life, and then I wash my hands and don't touch my face if I can help from doing that. Ernst Holmes says, health starts with the knowledge, backed by conviction and belief, that there is one life. That life is perfect, and that life is our life now. It is the complete and whole pattern of perfection. We accept without reservation that it is the spiritual reality of our being. It is the only source, the only cause of every perfect action and function in our body. It alone heals and makes whole. Regardless of what the condition may be, it knows what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. So it's remembering that that presence, that power is the cause of what is happening. What I want is for you and me to move through the and a sense of security and a sense of safety and to not be caged in by fear. While the media is fanning the flames of fear. And so while I was researching for this talk this week, I came up with some actually really alarming statistics that I'd like to share with you. These are how about this one? Believe it or not, champagne corks kill almost 24 people a year. Don't be a show-off. Safety first. Falling coconuts cause about 150 deaths annually. No, you are keeping your eye and looking out for sharks. Seven people were killed trying to get a snack from a vending machine from 1978 to 1995. That's an average of 2.18 deaths a year, making the cause of death way more likely than to be killed by a shark attack. 450 people die falling out of bed in the United States every year. A real nightmare. Your chances of dying from falling out of bed are greater than your chances of dying from the coronavirus. And so one of the other things that came across my desk this week, if you will, is a visualization about this. So would you like to do a visualization with me? So I invite you just to close your eyes. Oh, except it isn't right here in my list. Let me look in my purse. That's funny. All right. Close your eyes and breathe out slowly three times. And see yourself safely protected by an aura, a suit of armor, Superman's cape, angel wings, or an emerald dome. And breathe out and see and sense an internal, bright, warm light within your abdomen. And that light is growing hotter without becoming uncomfortable. And sense that light spreading from your abdomen throughout your body, counteracting the, quote, cold, and creating an internal environment in which the coronavirus cannot live. And breathe out again. And wash yourself under a waterfall that cools and cleanses you. Seeing and sensing the water wash away any toxins, any debris within your body. And that comes out of you like black strands through the soles of your feet. Feel the vibrancy of your own life force. And breathe out one more time, and then open your eyes. What I want for you and me is to move through all of the challenges of our life, all of the events, whether it's your kid getting in trouble in school, or your teenager simply being a teenager, or moving through the sense of peace, sense of well-being, and a sense of security and safety without being caged in by fear or doubt or concern or worry. And so my invitation to you is every single day to disconnect from the world and to connect with the divine, to connect with that which is the source of all of your good. Do that visualization. Do your prayer. Do your affirmations. In that place of quiet and that place of stillness, listen to your spirit. Listen to that place of stillness within you where there is no fear. That might counteract the voice of your ego and the voice of the media. Remember, your God, the God of your being and the God of your life, is bigger than this. the God that is wholeness is bigger than this. Own intuition you and keeps you safe is bigger than this. That God is bigger than this. There's an opening in your consciousness. It only requires your agreement, your saying yes. And then in that saying yes, it becomes your lived experience. And as a result of that, you'll be moving through the things that seem to be disturbing events with a greater sense of peace. And you will be changing the conditions in your life because you will be the embodiment of spiritual truth. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of awakening to the divine presence in which you live and that divine presence that is your own essential nature. And so blessings to all of you. And so I'd like to give you a couple moments to take some notes if you'd like to. You have a couple of inserts, I'll tell you, too. You have an insights. You also have another one that is a prayer that I wrote for you that you can say daily. And on the back side of the prayer is the song to sing while you're washing your hands. But I'll give you a moment just to write anything down in case you want to. Yes. No, they're not going to. Yes. It is. That's what it is. But the water part, I don't get at all. So if you can wrap up that last thought. And so I invite you to join me in affirmative prayer. And so we just allow our consciousness, our awareness, our focus to settle in on that one infinite and divine presence. That one that is the beginning and the end, the center and circumference, the in and all of everything is this presence of the divine. It is from this presence that everything springs forward. And it is this presence that is the maintainer and the sustainer of all life itself. And so I recognize and know that each and every single one of us, we are one with this presence. For we are individualized expressions of this one. Individuations of the perfection and the wholeness and the power and the good, the eternality of this one presence. That the life that we are living is the life of God. The mind that we are using is our own individualized use of the mind of God. We are all part of this one. And so I know that as we move through our days and as we move throughout everything that we are doing, that we walk in that presence and that that presence lives within us. That it leads us and it guides us. It speaks to our hearts and to our minds of right practices and of right knowing. Speaks to our hearts and our minds of the truth that all is well. God is all, that we are cared for, that we are supported, that all that we need reveals itself to our thinking minds and to our hearts. And it is for this that I give thanks. It is for the truth of our own wholeness that expresses itself as health, our own resiliency, our own immune systems, that I give thanks, knowing that this is the activity of God in our bodies and as our bodies, that it knows exactly what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And so we place our reliance and our trust in this presence and this power, knowing that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And part of that kingdom is health and peace and well-being. So we just lean into that. We allow ourselves to just marinate in that awareness. We just soak it in and we soak it up. And behold, we are filled with light. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into the creative womb of the universe that always takes a hold of our thinking and unfolds it in our lives as a fact. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I say, and so it is.